and the grace of our Lord and our Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, the bridegroom of the church, be with us and bless us in His word this day. That word that became flesh still lives among us in His word for us this day. And today we look to the word of the gospel lesson primarily, but also references to the epistle lesson in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Brothers and sisters in Christ. When we lived in California, we learned a little bit about earthquakes. And they had a saying out in California, you know, they're always looking for the big one. And we had an opportunity to go up and see some of the huge trenches that ran along the San Andreas fault line. And the saying was, it's not if, it's when. Yeah. They know that a big earthquake's going to hit someday. In fact, not too long ago, a pretty significant one hit. And so there was all kinds of calls to be prepared, be ready. And in fact, our church served as one of the emergency centers for our community should a big earthquake hit, where people could gather so that emergency people who were coming in to help out would have places they would know to go where survivors might be sequestered together. And they encouraged everybody in their homes to have an earthquake preparedness kit. You put it together yourself. Oh, there were some that sold them as well. But you could put one together. So when we got out there, honestly, my very first sermon, my first Sunday in the church, right in the middle of the message, bam, an earthquake hit. I don't know if that was a good omen or not, but it sure startled me, especially when I saw everybody scattering in the church. And I said, my goodness, what was that? And they're all laughing because I thought it was a car accident out front. But the place shook and it sounded like a huge noise. I didn't expect an earthquake to be that noisy, but it was. And so they encouraged everyone to be alert and watchful and ready, prepared when the big earthquake hit. So you put in things like, we had a big plastic crate, water, and some dried food or non-perishable kinds of foods, a flashlight, maybe a radio, and those kinds of things. So we did that. We were very good. Went out and shopped. We got all these things, put it away, put it in our house. We knew where it was. About 8 years later, when we moved, we hadn't touched it. I don't know. I guess the water would have been drinkable. But eight-year-old water in a bottle, okay, I guess it's better than not having anything. The food probably wasn't good. The batteries were dead. And you can just say, we were not diligent in being watchful. We put it together, and we knew we were supposed to be ready, but we didn't keep watch. And so our kit was really out of date. And our Lord is talking to His disciples and others around. He's telling them, now, I just shared the story with you about the rich man and the parable and how he invested himself so much in this life that he wasn't rich towards God. And when his time had come, how sad it was. God called him a fool. He wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared. And so now Jesus says, you be ready, watchful, alert, and prepared. You don't know. Christ will come when you least expect Him. And on the heels of that gospel lesson, I think the foundation of all of this preparedness is faith, of course, and where you invest your heart. I love the verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you want to know where your heart is? You probably kind of know. Look at your calendar. Where do you invest your time? What is important to you? What do you really treasure? And so we see here, where your treasure is, that which is most important to you, That's where your heart is. And Jesus is saying, if you follow me, then that must be your treasure. Be alert and ready. Be focused. Just like the ancients were. And we hear about some of them in Hebrews chapter 11. The great hall of fame of the faithful believers of God. It's a wonderful chapter. You can read through it further. But we had this morning in our epistle lesson the examples of Abel. Enoch, maybe you don't remember Enoch too much. He never died. God just took him home. He walked home with him. Noah. Can you imagine Noah, the faith he had to believe that a flood was coming? And for all those years to build an ark to be made fun of, and that was a judgment against the world around him that wouldn't believe their warning that a flood was coming and God's anger was stirring, that he did believe. He built the ark. How about this one? And we get challenged with this today. Faith is how we believe that God spoke and created the universe. He said, let there be, and it became. It's a hot issue today. We've studied in our apologetics classes here. There are so many proofs that, yes, indeed, there's evidence. There's foundations and data for a wise kind of architect, namely God, for the creation of the universe and so forth. But you know, ultimately, if you believe in a six-day creation, it's by faith. Can't really totally prove it. We surely were not there to see it. But yet, I pray all of you do believe that God created the heavens and the earth. That's by faith. Then we hear about a man named Abram and even his wife Sarah. How they believed in God. They left their family. They went to another land just because God told them to go. They were very old. Beyond the age of childbearing, God said, look at the stars in the sky, or the sand, the grains of sand on the seashore. That's your descendancy. That's how many children you will have. And they believed it. Pretty amazing, even at their age. I know when I read this, chapter 11 of Hebrews, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, could you insert your name somewhere down the line? You know, you have Abraham, and then way, way down the line in 2019, could you say, and by faith, Mark Willard, and so forth, right? Could you do that? And I would kind of look at it and say, no way. I don't compare myself with the faith of the ancients. And if you do that, if that's how you feel about your faith, you're mistaken. These weren't perfect people. These weren't better people. But they were given that gift of faith, and they persevered in that faith. And so do you and I. And quite frankly, we could insert our names by faith. We continued to trust in God throughout our lives. By faith, we got through a round of cancer. By faith, even though many of our families and friends died and we felt lonely, we continued to hold fast to that faith. And that's what faith is. It's a gift from God. Martin Luther makes that real clear. I've thought about it a lot this week about faith. How do you persevere in faith? Because you don't make it happen. You don't say, and I love the song, but it's theologically incorrect. I have decided to follow Jesus. No, you didn't. God called you. And he sent his Spirit to encourage and call you to believe in Jesus. You didn't decide it. Now, you didn't reject it, though. And that's how Luther delineates it. He says, you know, faith is a gift, kind of like the sun coming in the windows. You see the sun coming in the window. Can you make that happen? Can you cause the sun to shine? Of course not. And if you can, 2 weeks from now on Saturday night, would you please make the sun shine? You can't make that happen. But what can you do? You can go over and let those shades down. You can block God's warmth, his love, his calling you into faith. You can walk away from that faith, unfortunately, but you can. You can reject that. And that's the free will that we do have. But you can't make it happen. However, I do believe Scripture makes a case for that. As we're called into that faith, we can persevere by availing ourselves to opportunities to be nurtured and strengthened in that gift of faith. I love the way Luther describes the third article in his explanation. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. How many of you Trinity School alumni remember memorizing that? It's good to hold on to. In fact, when I thought about it this week, I thought, no wonder we're afraid of evangelism. We think we got to go out and we've got to convince people to believe in Jesus. We've got to be persuasive and we've got to be good marketing and salespeople for the gospel. No, you don't. You don't do it. It's the Spirit of God that works. And you can't by your own reason or strength either convince somebody else or believe yourself, but it's the gift of God. But we can do certain things and avail ourselves to opportunities to grow and be nurtured in that faith. To be in the Word, to be in fellowship with other believers, to be in communication with God in prayer, to come to the sacraments at Christ's altar. And all these different ways we are encouraged in that faith. So now, you and I have been given this gift of faith. That's our treasure. To know where that treasure is in our faith and to persevere, to be alert and watchful for Christ's coming. Not to be caught by surprise like the rich farmer. Not to hear, "You fool," but rather, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And to receive the gift that Christ offers. I remember as a child this text. And as usual, as a child, I twisted it wrong, around the wrong way. I thought, wait a minute, I'm young. I still want to enjoy my life. I want to go to college. I want to have a career and a family and all these dreams, you know? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to expect Christ to return every day. Because He says He can't come. He won't come if you expect Him. It's when you least expect Him. So I was going to prevent Him from coming. How foolish. Because our treasure and our joy and our hope is that Christ would come right now, even today, to take us and all who believe in Him to be with Him in His kingdom. And that's the treasure we hold fast to, and that's why we stay watchful and alert. Jesus teaches and He warns us in this gospel, invest in that true treasure of faith and that fruit of faith in Christ's salvation. And He gives us a couple of illustrations on how to be ready and waiting. You know, some servants waiting for their master to come home from a wedding banquet and also the homeowner of a house. There's another illustration. My brother was in the Navy. He was a machinist mate. He worked in the belly of the ship and it was noisy down there with the engine and hot and so forth. And they had to take their rotation being on watch. Now, try to be on watch where it's hot and noisy and stay alert and watchful. And he failed. He fell asleep on watch. Any military people here, you know, you do not fall asleep while you're on watch. So he got in big trouble for doing that. And I thought about it with this. Be ready and watchful, like servants waiting for their master to return. And how well it is for them if they're awake and ready when the master returns to open the door for him, to serve him and his needs. In fact, they're so blessed that even the master will turn and wait on them. That's how it will be for us. As we serve our master, our Lord, and we wait for him, when he comes, he will serve us. He will invite us to the banquet feast of the Lamb in his kingdom that has no end. What a wonderful way. What a great picture. If you think about a wedding and getting prepared and ready, I'm sorry, I know that that's on my mind these days. A lot of preparations and getting ready for a wedding and all the celebrations around it. It's a lot of fun, but Lynn and I are making all kinds of lists and checking them twice and all that kind of thing just to make sure everything's covered. And we're ready and waiting. And how significant that would be. What if we did that? If we had lists waiting and ready for Christ, the bridegroom of the church, to return for the great wedding day that's coming up. Now, we don't know when it will be, but we know it will be. It's not if, it's when, and to be prepared. Or a homeowner. How about a homeowner? He takes preventative measures, maybe has special lighting that goes on, motion lighting, security systems, maybe locked doors and so forth, so that a thief can't come in. And the thief would have no choice if the homeowner is ready when the thief tries to steal. And so, again, the picture, be ready like that homeowner, so when the thief comes in the night, his efforts are thwarted. Well, Jesus is now encouraging us to be ready. And there is a thief who would come and take from you that gift of faith. And you know who he is. The evil one. The devil. Satan. Lucifer will come and do whatever he can to lull you into not being ready and waiting, to be complacent and apathetic, to invest in a treasure of this world. Whatever he can do, he'll take it away from you. Take that eternal life. That would give him great joy. And when we fall away from God, there's probably great rejoicing among all the demons in hell for that soul that they've been able to lead astray. And so that thief, be ready. When that thief comes to destroy and to take from you that treasure that's been given to you of faith, be ready and waiting and strengthened in Christ. And so today the message is persevere in that faith. Be alert and watchful, ready, and even longing for that kingdom to come. And in the meantime, be nurtured in our fellowship with one another, in our strengthening of one another. We had a golf outing yesterday by team. It was kind of fun. We were not good golfers on my team. We came in last place, actually. But you know, we had a lot of fun. And the people that I golfed with, you know, you'd hit the ball, it's, oh, good hit. And it literally went off this way or whatever. But that encouragement, that camaraderie and that support of one another was important. We had a good day. It wasn't like when you hit it off, it's, oh man, Pastor, I thought you knew what you were doing out here. It wasn't like that at all. It was a lot of fun. I think the church can be that way too. We can encourage and strengthen one another in our faith, in our readiness and waiting for Christ's return. Certainly the Word of God, the sacraments, all ways in which God's Spirit comes and keeps us in that one true faith. May God so bless us in His name. Amen.